You will go to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13, and I want to read two verses. Verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Hebrews chapter number 13, verses 5 and 6. Of course, I read both of the verses. I do want to take this as a text from verse number 5. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the verse we might consider conversation without covetousness, contentment with such things as we have, and we also may think about living our lives without a fear of man. In the first part of the verse number 5, conversation without covetousness. And certainly there's a tremendous need for that, and so often crimes are committed because people are covetous. Being content with such things as you have, so many people are not content with what they have. And then so many people are in fear of man. Because of their fear of man, they transgress the law of God. Now, the word conversation can refer to, in a broader sense than we might think of it normally, a way of life. We might think of it referring to manners and behavior. The word can also refer to intimate associations between people. But especially let us consider this idea of way of life, the way we conduct ourselves. And the Bible says there in that scripture, verse number 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." Now I want to give you an illustration to illustrate what we find in these two verses. Jesus Christ, of course, illustrated the manners of men by using the fruit of a tree. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Chapter 7, verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." And so when we look at these scriptures, I want you to consider, what if we were looking at an individual, a person that professed Christianity? Of course, many people profess Christianity, but they do not possess Christianity. Many people that truly are saved are not producing the fruit, as I was dealing with earlier, are not producing the fruit that we ought to produce. But here, let's consider a person that is a true believer and is producing some good fruit. Now, the Bible says in that first part, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." And so imagine us looking at a person that has professed Christianity. And we see from that person, we see in that person's conversation these two sweet, pleasant fruits. We see a conversation without covetousness, and we also see a conversation with contentment. Two very sweet fruits for an individual to bear. And so let's imagine if we go further. We see these pleasant fruits, and so we want to look further at the tree from which those fruits come. And so imagine if we go down, we look at the branch on which they hang. And of course there we might think about the branch of the life of a man and these fruits upon his life, his conversation, showing forth these two things. And so let us follow the branch on down. We'll go down to the trunk, then come down to the root that, of course, has supplied the strength for the fruit, this pleasant fruit that is grown. We dig around the root for a while because we want to know more about the root, more about the soil in which that root is. And so imagine if we start digging around there and we find out that the root by which this pleasant fruit has been born is faith, a belief in God and a belief in the Word of God. And so we go even further to see what kind of soil is there. What kind of soil is it by which this plant is producing such good fruit? what Saul is there so that this plan is so stable, so secure, so steadfast. And so we look farther down to see what kind of soil is there. What kind of soil is the root of faith entwined in? And what is it gripping? And we find there what the Bible states in verse number 5, the last of the verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now I want you to understand, conversation without covetousness, contentment with such things as you have. Then the word for. The reason for these two pleasant fruits is because of a belief in what God has stated. God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, you and I, of course, are to place our faith in. We are to draw our sustenance from. We are to grow good fruits because we have drawn from the Word of God. And here's this one particular portion of Scripture from which a believer may draw and therefore produce these two good fruits. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Without faith it is impossible to produce these fruits in all purity. The only way we can do that is by faith, trusting in God and trusting in the Word of God. And so, let us consider. As we look, we've looked down at the root of faith. We've looked down at the soil from which the strength, the sustenance is drawn, the steadfastness comes from. And so then let's follow, go back up the trunk, and follow another limb. Here we might consider the fruit of the lips. We've seen the fruit of the life. And there the conversation without covetousness and conversation with contentment with what same things as you have. But then let's look at another limb. There look at the fruit of the lips. Notice, if you will, in verse number 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper. Now there's one very sweet, very precious, in fact, a very pungent fruit. This being said boldly. Imagine a believer saying, outwardly saying boldly, the Lord is my helper. Then notice this other piece of fruit. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Both of these fruits here, just as the other fruit I was speaking of, both of these come from, are based upon those words in verse number 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, if you and I are going to produce the very same fruits, if you and I are going to have the right kind of conversation, if we're going to have the conversation of with contentment with such things as we have, and to not have the covetousness, and to be able to boldly say these things that are spoken of here, truthfully, honestly, I believe that we need to go down to the very same basis. We need to draw from the very same soil. For God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It may seem a little surprising that such fruit, such good fruit, will come from such soil. Certainly it's not in any way looking negatively at the soul. And yet we might think about a person believing this with all his heart, believing what God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And as a result of that, there not being the covetousness, there being a contentment, there being a boldness to take the stands that he ought to take. It is a powerful statement. Is a statement that you and I should trust, that God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the book of Deuteronomy, and by the way, remember, this is a book that was written especially to the Hebrews. Certainly it is good for us, but it was written especially for the Hebrews. And in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verses 6 and 8, the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, those words are the words of Moses to Israel before he died, telling them to be strong, telling them that God would go with them, telling them that God would not fail them nor forsake them. In verse number 8 of the same chapter, "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Here we have the words of Moses to Joshua. Before Moses died, he spoke to Joshua. He gave him this charge, as it might be said. Then we've got the words of God to Joshua. Just before they took the promised land, these words in Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And then we got the words of David to Solomon. David was near the end of his life, and David had gotten things. He wanted to build the temple, but God would not allow him to, but he gathered things to build the temple, and he gave a charge to Solomon. In the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, and verse number 20, "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast furnished all the work for the service of the house of God." Now, we have these wonderful fruits, that are spoken of in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. But way down, we find what they're rooted in, these words of God, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, you and I, we need to trust the Lord wholeheartedly. We need to trust the fact that God will do just what He said, and in our cases that are saved by the grace of God, God will never leave us nor forsake us. God shall always fulfill His promises to us. As a child of God, of course, I'm not always absolutely obedient to God, but I'm still His child. And I continue to be a child. Even if I'm under chastening, I'm still a child of God. God still cares about me. God still has a perfect plan for my life from that point on. Sometimes people may have the idea, "Oh, I failed God. And because I failed God, well, I missed the perfect will of God." Well, I've missed the perfect will of God many times. But it doesn't matter where you are now. If you're saved, He has a perfect will for you now. He's got a place for your next step. He's got direction from this point on. He wants to have full fellowship with you from this point on. He wants you to walk with Him from this point on. It is so important for us to get a hold of this idea that God said it and God shall never leave us nor forsake us. Now, this can help us in some very practical ways. It can help us, as I was speaking about earlier, to have a conversation without covetousness and contentment with such things as we have. Now, these fruits grow together. They sweeten together. They ripen together. One thing about these fruits, these are good fruits. These fruits never rot. You might say they're ripened, but they never rot. They never go bad. One thing about this, these fruits will be good not only on this side of eternity, but also in eternity. Those will be good things that we can continue to have even then. One of the things that I think will be so different when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ is that there shall be no covetousness. There shall be no greed, there shall be no jealousy, there shall be no wicked rivalry. I believe because of the fact that we have been changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye. We have been changed, and we are like Jesus because we have seen Him as He is. Because of that, that the Lord shall be able to give us rewards. And all of our rewards, of course, shall not be equal. In our day, one of the ways that people may try to keep down fights among people is by giving everybody the same thing. Let's say a group of children, maybe giving every one of them a popsicle. Everybody, maybe even giving everyone the same kind. At prison, everybody the same uniform. And if a prisoner has something that's a little more than what another prisoner has, there can be conflict because of it. But when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that we'll face it honestly. If, for instance, I have failed to live as I should, and because of that, I lack the rewards that I could have had. On the other hand, if you stand before the Lord and you receive tremendous rewards for work that you did upon this earth, I believe that I'll be able to say, He's right, that's right. He is perfect. He did just what He should have done. In fact, I believe when I'm there, I'll think, I didn't deserve what I got. Certainly, I won't be feeling as though I didn't get everything I should have gotten. I won't be up there pouting because I didn't get everything I thought I should have gotten. I believe when we get up there, thank the Lord, we'll be pure of that kind of an attitude. But it'd be good for us to be pure of a wicked covetousness and discontentment down here. Why wait till we get there? Why wait till we get changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye? Why not change now? And one of the ways to do that is to recognize and to cling to and to hold to and let this work in your life. God will never leave you. And God will never forsake you. God is my portion. Is that not enough? God is my portion. And somebody might say, well, I wanted so many other things. Well, of course, the Lord is able to give things, but if God chooses not to, can we be content with God as our portion? And whatever God allows us to have, but have a conversation without covetousness and a conversation with contentment. One of the problems that the Israelites had that came out of Egypt. In fact, the complaining started even before they left Egypt. But they left Egypt, and before they crossed the Red Sea, the children of Israel were complaining. The book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And then it erupted again. It seemed almost that the Israelites did have that wicked, sinful nature. And without it being subdued by God, that it would break out like a poison in the blood, like an infection in the blood breaking out. If you read some old writings, you may read about men being pockmarked. You read about, I was reading behind one writer, he's writing about the people, it may have been at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, but pockmarked men. Well, in a day in which there was not the vaccinations and so on, so that people got smallpox and chicken pox, as a result of that, and the idea of a pock is a raised place, and you might think about a place of infection. And as a result of the diseases that we didn't have all the vaccinations for back then men may have reached adulthood pockmarked. Because those infections that they had within and the eruptions that came on the outside. And with the Israelites, it's as though they had that poison within. And then that numerous times it broke out. And it became so obvious that they were discontent, that they were covetous, that were not happy with God and that were not happy with a man of God. He came out before they left Egypt. He came out there before they crossed the Red Sea. It erupted again at Marah, at the bitter waters. The people murmured against Moses. It erupted again after Elam in the book of Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this land, into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly with hunger. We got a, I think there's even the sign of their, the breaking out, you might say, of their covetousness and their discontentment. When God told them, gave them instructions about the manna. And when they got the manna, God gave them instructions. They were to get the manna for the day. And with the exception of preparation for the Sabbath day, they were to get the manna for the day. But the people, and it seems like it was a widespread problem, the people took manna and kept it to the next morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with the people. I believe that there are so many ways in which this corruption within the people of Israel broke out as they complained, as they murmured. The book of Numbers, chapter number 11, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. They complained, and that displeased God, and the fire of the Lord burned among them. The Bible goes on to say, beginning of verse 2, and the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Beginning of verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now as our soul dried away, there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Manna, bread from heaven, angels' food. There's such a tendency toward discontentment. There's such a tendency toward covetousness among even God's people. There's a false teaching that is spoken of in the book of 1 Timothy. The idea that gain is godliness, that's a falsehood, but there's the fact. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And if you and I are going to be content with such things as we have, and if you and I are going to have a conversation without covetousness, then I believe we need to get a hold of what the Bible said, what the Bible records in the last of verse 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, the people of Israel, the Hebrews of years ago, failed. But the writer of the book of Hebrews was given this instruction to the people so that they could succeed and so that they could live lives without that covetousness and with contentment, but then also to have a boldness. This was a time, of course, in which some of them have already suffered persecution and perhaps some of them would suffer great persecution. And they needed to be able to believe within them and even to boldly say outwardly, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 118 and beginning of verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man or what can man do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I find it interesting, and some may calculate this in a different way, but I believe it has been stated that verse number 8 of Psalm 118 is the central verse in the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, if you put confidence in man, that is a snare. If you put confidence in man, don't expect to succeed as you should. Instead, you should get a hold of what the Bible states here in the book of Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Regardless of what man does, God said He would never leave you nor forsake you. I know we live in a time in which we've had it relatively easy. And sometimes that may have been because of our own lack of diligence and zealousness to do the will of God. But still, we live in a country in which there's been freedom. And thank the Lord for all the freedom that we've had. But in time, more and more, we may be faced with opposition and persecution. Even if perhaps I don't see heavy persecution, it may be some of the young people here will see heavy persecution in their day. I think we're already seeing things that show that heavy persecution could come. If one takes a stand against, for instance, sodomy, the so-called transgender movement, and a variety of other things, they may find themselves ostracized and persecuted. But by the grace of God, stand where you ought to stand with the right attitude. Get hold of this idea. God will never leave you nor forsake you. If the government opposes you, God still hasn't left you nor forsaken you. If your family opposes you, if your friends oppose you, still God has not left you and He has not forsaken you. It can help you in this realm of not being covetous and being content. And those can be good even in times of peace. And in fact, perhaps especially in times of prosperity. This can be helpful because we may see what others have. We may want what they have. And so, in this time, even though we have peace and prosperity now, let us take hold of this Scripture. But then, in times of persecution, it may help us greatly to have a hold of this portion of Scripture. God will not leave you nor forsake you. These are four, as it might be said, precious, pleasant, and sweet pieces of fruit that come from the same root that have sprung from the same soil, good soil. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you will, please stand. Let's go to the Lord and work.